Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Moments away, author and Garden Talk radio host Nikki Jabor. But first, do you have carpenter bees? Have you had carpenter bees? You don't want carpenter bees. And Rescue has a trap stick that can prevent them from doing damage on your property.
These, Rescue Carpenter Bee Trap Stick also works on wasps, mud daubers, and carpenter bees bore holes and tunnels into wood to lay eggs and care for their larvae. These holes and tunnels in the wood invite mold or rot into homes, decks, fences, and any other wood structures. So spring is the best time to catch carpenter bees before they mate, but Trap Stick can be used throughout the summer and early fall to control them. Rescue makes a carpenter bee trap stick that is simple to use and pesticide free. You hang the trap sticks from the wood structures you want to protect. You can go to carpenterbeecontrol.com to watch a video about carpenter bees and learn how to prevent them with the trap stick from Rescue. Like all Rescue products, it's made in the USA. You can go to rescue.com or carpenterbeecontrol.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Nikki Jabor is a writer, radio show host, year-round vegetable gardener, speaker, and award-winning author. She's also one of the three garden experts at savvygardening.com. Welcome to the program, Nikki.
Hey, guys. Hey, Holly. Hey, Zoe. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be back.
Well, thank you for being on, taking time out of your day. I know you were on the show about season three, and we figured it was time to have you back on the program.
Well, I am glad to be back. It's always great to talk gardening, right? Especially now that we're at the cusp of that planting season and everything's going in the garden. It's an exciting time.
It definitely is an exciting time. So you are the year-round vegetable garden expert, and we will get to that. But let's talk about your newest book, Growing Undercover, Techniques for More Productive, Weather-Resistant, Pest-Free Vegetable Garden. You explain how to use low tunnels, roll covers, etc. to extend the season and help with the continual varied weather that we seem to be having and continuing to experience. Now, some people may think, like, I'm not going to use a low tunnel because it's useless. The weather is going to do whatever it wants to do. But how do simple things like using low tunnels or shade cloth help? What is some of the science there, especially for those apprehensive to try?
Yeah, you know, my garden covers have been a game changer, I think is the best way to think of it in my garden. And they're my garden insurance because I live in Zone 5B. We have long, harsh winters. We have, you know, lovely summers, but lately, the past, you know, decade or so, they're drier. And when it does rain, it's like downpours for like half an hour, which can wash away seeds and seedlings. We get hurricanes, we get nor'easters. So the weather is more unsettled. So all of these covers I use, you know, they help me prevent pest problems like deer, rabbits, groundhogs, potato beetles, cucumber beetles. They help me extend the season year round. And they also protect, you know, and create microclimates around my plants just during especially those shoulder seasons of spring and fall. So I use a lot of different types of covers. You know, to increase yield and protect from pests, everything from a row cover, which can be temporary protection, just even for frost for a night or two. I mean, you know, I know the day I put my tomatoes in, which is today, I usually would get a frost in the evening. It's pretty much a guarantee. And, you know, instead of just saying, well, you know, it's not going to work, I'm not going to bother trying, a simple row cover or, gosh, even an old bed sheet over top of your tomatoes is going to protect them. So why wouldn't I do that? It's just, you know, making sure that the tomatoes I planted survive and get to grow and produce their yield for me. You could also use a mini hoop tunnel in the garden for weeks in the spring or in the fall. And that's just hoops covered in clear plastic or row cover. You can DIY them in like 5 minutes, capture solar energy, create some microclimate around vegetables, you know, and I like to use them over things that, well, as you guys know, need a lot of heat, like tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, melons. When you live in a cool climate, especially in spring, it's not always great weather for those heat-loving crops. So using a mini hoop tunnel for a week or two in spring, again, just garden insurance to make sure they're going to basically produce their maximum harvest and grow really well. So for me, that's one of the main reasons. Also for pests, like I get cabbage worms. I do have deer. I just watched three bunnies dancing in my backyard, and I'm like, please don't come in the garden. Potato beetles, squash bugs, vine borers, all of these things. So again, there's so many types of covers you can use to reduce damage and enjoy that homegrown harvest.
Well, you speak about that insurance, whether you've grown and started, you know, 70 or 80 or 100 tomato plants, or you went and bought 50 tomato plants, there's an investment of cost and time that, you know, it's great to know that the garden center is there, that if you do have an oops, you can go grab two or three. But whenever you go to, you have to go grab another 50 or 60, that's going to hurt.
Exactly. And like you say, what, you know, I grow most of my own, about 95% of my own seedlings. So if I lose the tomatoes I grew, you know, to a deer or to frost, then I'm not going to be able to grow those again until next year. So It's protective covers. It just means I'm going to get to enjoy the varieties I've planted. So, and saves money, like you say. Win-win. What can you do?
Now, you encourage your listeners and your readers to try different types of edible plants than they normally would grow. If someone is trying to space savvy what they're growing and trying something new, what are some tips that you would encourage them to use without having to commit to a large area to grow something?
Yeah, you know, I love experimenting in my food garden. There are so many crops, so many varieties to try, even in a short season region like mine, of course. And there's plenty of ways you can garden and try a lot of these things in small spaces. You could grow vertically by planting vining vegetables, new types of pole beans, or just some unusual vining vegetables like cucumbers. My current obsession is cucumber melons, which are botanically musk melons, but they're grown in the Middle East as cucumbers, and they have a cucumber flavor, never bitter. They are just so delicious. And, you know, they grow really well for me in zone 5B. Or you can plant small space-saving varieties that don't grow super large. You guys know plant breeders have been so busy to create compact growing varieties. And, like, even ultra dwarf tomatoes like Micro Tom, bush cucumbers, tumbling tom tomato, you know, winter squash that are just bush plants. So they don't get, you know, more than 3 to 4 feet across. And you can still get 5 or 6 fruit from them. So you don't have to give up your back 40 or give up your whole yard just to have a couple, you know, winter squash and pumpkin plants. So there's so many different varieties you can try now. There's a new one this year called Pot O Pino Jalapeno. And I literally about 20 minutes ago just put it in a hanging basket, my seedling in my greenhouse. And it's going to go on my back sunny deck in the next couple days. That's a really compact variety of a jalapeno pepper that's going to give me, you know, dozens of fruits, but not need big space in a garden bed. So I would say read your seed catalogs carefully. If you're not growing your own, then look at the garden centers very carefully and read the tags and look for things that are compact or bush growing. But don't be afraid to try new things. I mean, you guys know how fun it is to try new flavors in your home garden. I always tell people to try at least one new thing every year, if not 10. But, you know, try at least one new thing every year. It's so much fun.
Well, and even now when most of our gardens are getting almost filled up, seed companies have to get rid of these seeds. So this might be a good time to kind of explore and see if you can get a deal on these and save them to next year, which are perfectly good to plant a year from now.
Totally. That's a great tip, too. Yeah. Shopping now. Like I try to buy all my seeds for the whole year at once, or, you know, in late winter, early spring. So that, you know, when I'm succession planting, when I'm planting for fall and winter, I have everything I need. But if you can get deals right now, I'd be ordering and then just storing those seeds in a cool, dry place till next spring.
Definitely. So your book, The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, is known and loved by thousands of gardeners. Someone may have raised beds now and they want to convert it into a cold frame to keep it year-round. Can they convert the raised bed into a cold frame? How would they do so? And what's another simple tip you would love to encourage people to check out your book?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that book is now 10 years old, but it's still my number one selling book. You know, and I wrote Growing Undercover, my newer one, to kind of talk about all the things I've been doing the past decade and all the other ways I use covers. And, of course, the fact that so many people have greenhouses now or polytunnels or geodesic domes. There's been a huge gardening and greenhouse boom the past year with the pandemic. So I wanted to give people lots of strategies for that. But the year-round vegetable gardener, you can totally convert a raised bed into a cold frame. I mean, first of all, you can now buy cold frames. When I started using them 20 years ago, you couldn't really. I couldn't find any. You had to build them yourself. So I do, and I have many, many times. But you can buy like polycarbonate ones that just kind of fit right on top of your raised bed. You know, if you have something like a veg trug raised bed, there's a cold frame that matches it. Or again, you can DIY your own. Or you can make like a drop top for the top of a raised bed and then store that in summer when you don't need it and then bring it out and attach it. Just lay it on top in the fall so you can then enjoy vegetables into fall and winter. You know, for the most part, the tops of my cold frames are held on with hinges. So it's pretty easy to do. You can build a cold frame, you know, if you're semi-handy in a day or two. So it's kind of like a weekend project. I like to use like Lexan polycarbonate, which is 8 mil thick, because I find it's a really nice, durable material that lets lots of light in, but it doesn't break like glass would. But another tip is if somebody's thinking about extending their season and kind of getting into that, the easiest way to do that is, you know, in terms of getting started in season extension is with mulching. You can deep mulch beds of root crops like carrots, parsnips, beets, celery root, or even stem crops like leeks in late autumn before the ground freezes with shredded leaves, with straw, and then you can harvest all winter long. And honestly, a lot of vegetables, especially those root crops, taste even sweeter in winter because the starches convert to sugar. So that's just an easy and usually free way to extend your season that doesn't require any special skills. It's really easy to do.
Perfect. So we're talking with Nikki Jabor. She's an author, radio show host, and year-round vegetable gardener.
Now, Nikki, in your area, you have a chemical ban where you live. Most people are probably not familiar with that. So how do you deal with the bad bugs and even invasive weeds to some degree?
You know, it's so funny. I have completely forgotten that people don't have a chemical ban. It's been over 20 years. I mean, yeah. It's just natural. Like, it's so weird to me that there's places that don't have, that you can still go buy wheat and feed for your lawn. Like, I don't even know. It's been decades since I could do that. Yeah, we have a chemical ban here in Nova Scotia, as well as much of Canada, really. So I can't go buy weed and feed to kill weeds in my lawn. I can't go buy some, you know, diazinon type sprays to spray on the bugs in my garden. And it has not changed my garden life at all. It hasn't, you know, a lot of people were worried at first, I think, that we were going to have this influx of weeds everywhere and crazy bugs, but that didn't really happen. I think, you know, people became a little more tolerant of weeds in their lawn, but a lot of people also became proactive and planted some clover in there as well, like dwarf white Dutch clover, to create that nice, dense green lawn. And when mixed with grass, I mean, it fixes nitrogen from the atmosphere. You know, it looks really nice and dark green all summer long, and it chokes out weeds. So we have beautiful lawns here, although a lot of people are replacing them with food gardens, thankfully. But yeah, it hasn't been a big deal at all. So I rely on organic practices, which I've always done anyway. And the key to success, I think, is diversity. I plant a wide range of vegetables and herbs and annual flowers. There's plenty of flowers in my backyard around my garden, you know, flowering shrubs. They attract so many different types of beneficial and pollinating insects, which reduces pest populations. So I hate to say it out loud because I'm going to have to knock on wood, but I rarely have problems with pests. You know, for the most part, the good bugs keep them in balance. And my backyard has become a wildlife haven. Birds, butterflies, you know, they love the garden as much as I do. And I think that's awesome. And if people are looking for some good plants to include in their food garden, some of my favorite beneficial bug plants include things like nasturtiums, sweet alyssum. That's one of the best ones you can plant in your food garden. Sunflowers, zinnias. The key, again, is diversity. You know, having a range of vegetables and different flowers there to attract and support these good bugs. Again, no problems in my backyard with bugs at this point, except for slugs. Can you do anything about that, guys? Because they drive me crazy.
Beer. Beer. Slugs really like beer.
We don't waste good Canadian beer on slugs. Oh. Come on.
Well, and you bring up a good point, because you look at the prairies, you look at the forest, everything naturally is in check. There's no real, you know, infestation of this bug, this weed, that tree, because nature takes care of itself.
Exactly. That's an excellent point. Yeah. So, yeah, people don't even think twice about it here now. It's just the way it is. And we all garden that way. And honestly, it works great.
Well, Nikki, we greatly appreciate you coming on the program. How can people find out more about your books? And if they are able to, how can they listen to your radio show weekly up there in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, well, I'm at savvygardening.com is my website. I own with Jessica Wallister and Tara Nolan, two other garden writers. And of course, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter as Nikki Jabor. And then my radio show is every Sunday, live, Sunday mornings. And I usually post it on my social media so people can get the link there. But it's just the station website. People listen live from anywhere. We have a lot of American listeners as well as those across Canada and the UK, on news957.com. And it's a lot of fun. Like you guys know, it's so much fun to chat with people and learn new things every week, because gardeners can never know everything. And I tell you, every single conversation I have, I get tips and ideas for my own garden. So thank you very much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, we thank you for taking time and listening, not only sharing your information with Holly, myself, but all of our listeners.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Have a good
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.